John chapter 10, reading verses 1 through 12. I'll be preaching in just a few minutes on the subject, attached or detached. Attached or detached. In John chapter 10, start with verse number 1. The Bible said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the fact that your word changes lives. And Father, I pray that today you'll speak to the hearts of every person in this room. Lord, again, if there's one without Christ, I pray that they'd meet Jesus as Savior. For those who do know Christ, Lord, I pray that you'll encourage and strengthen them today. And Lord, may we go away from here saying you are not just the good shepherd, though that's true, but you're the great shepherd. And Father, I pray that we will be attached. Lord, that you might speak to those who are unattached, that they might find themselves being attached to that purpose for which you came. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated.
Thank you.
difficult things in life is to feel as though we're unattached to everything in life. Being alone. You know, God has placed within all of us this longing, this drive that we might be connected to something of great importance. That we would be, if you would, that we might be, attached to something that has real meaning in life. And it's very sad when you see people who live their lives in loneliness. And I've met a lot of people. I've met people who are lonely, live lonely, and died lonely. And it's horrible when you see that. Now, a good characteristic or a good illustration of that is we notice that there are a rise in gangs on streets. And a lot of that gang-banging mentality is because what happens is that they're trying to find an attachment. They want to be connected with something. They want to be a part of something. And ladies and gentlemen, this morning I want to tell you that you and I, we're not attached to something that is just like a group of people or a social club. We are attached to eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're attached to something that is beyond significance. We're attached to something that is eternal. That the church is not just a group of people, but the church is very much connected to all that eternity offers and settles for us. The greatest power in all the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing worth living is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only life worth living is walking with Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you this today, that to be attached to Him and to be attached to eternity is what life is all about. And it's so sad how people who are attached to God, attached to Jesus Christ, attached to eternity, and yet they become unattached to the church or to God's people or to some, area that becomes like, if you want, a physical representation of that which is on earth, which is connecting us back to eternity. It is so sad. It bothers me when I see people who, somehow or another, we have the idea that we can kind of freelance our Christian life. You know, that somehow or another that we can just be a Christian, but yet, you know, we're not attached to a church, we're not attached to anything that has anything to do with church. And yet, I knock on a lot of doors, and a lot of doors, and people say things like to me. I mean, just this last week, I'm out door knocking, and people say things like to me, well, I don't believe in organized religion. Well, I don't either. Since when did the church become organized religion? I'm going to be honest with you. I think organized religion started in hell. Because organized religion is man's effort to get to heaven on his own way. So I don't believe in it either. But what people are saying is, well, we don't believe in church. Well, the funny thing with me, you know what I found? Those who don't believe in church, guess what happens whenever they want a funeral? Guess where the first place that they call? They call a church. Whenever they have a spiritual need, guess who they call? A pastor. So maybe they don't believe in it until they have a need. You ever notice that? Now look, this morning, I just want to let you know, I am a pastor of a local church. I believe in the church. But I do not believe the church is the way a man gets to heaven. The way a man gets to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Now we gather together today because we are connected to eternity. Amen? And I'm thankful to God that we can be attached to something that is greater than politics, philosophy, education, or anything else for that matter. We're attached to something that has eternal consequences. And I'm so thankful to that. So I want you to go with me and look, because God is teaching us about this attachment. He wants us to understand. What does He mean by being attached? What is it that you and I are attached to it? And what is this all about? Well, in this passage, Jesus is talking about the shepherd and the sheep. And obviously, this has a primary meaning to the nation of Israel. This refers to the fact that Israel had been shepherded by phony shepherds. Now, they use shepherds in respect to their political leaders, in respect to their priestly leaders. And Jesus said these men had no concern for their spiritual life. And he says they're like hirelings. They were like those who, the only concern they had was for themselves. And what he did, what he's doing is he's giving a parable of the fact that he is their shepherd. But this has the primary applications to Israel, but this has a general application to God's people. Look, this morning I want to tell you this, that you and I, that we're attached to the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that we have that. Now, let me lay the groundwork and let us all understand what this attachment's about. Okay? It's one word, relationship. One word, relationship. Now, what does the word relationship mean? Well, Webster defines it this way. It is being connected, or it is a relationship which someone is connected to something or someone, or being bind in a binding participation. That's how he defines it. A kinship. A type of kinship. Now look, this morning, we all have a relationship. Now our relationship, we'll look at it in just a minute, that's where our attachment is. But all of us have a relationship. That's the way it is. That's just the bottom line. There is, in this whole message, it's wrapped around a relationship. Are you with me today? This does not mean that necessarily that we even know each other. We just know that we are connected through a relationship. And it's not the fact that we're human beings. So I want you to look at it with me, please, because God gives us a specific connection to this relationship. I want you to look at number one, write this one down, through the door. The Bible uses the door. Now, let me help you to understand. Let me draw a picture for you in your mind, if you can, with me. In ancient Israel, in the agrarian society, they had sheep, and they used sheep for a lot of things. They used it for wool. They used it for milk. They used it for food. And so shepherding and sheep, I mean, that was normal, mainstay, ancient first century world. And they were familiar with that. They knew that. They understood that. They knew that sheep could not be left alone because sheep are the dumbest of all animals. Now, I don't know why God likens us to sheep. I don't know what connection there is with it. But they are. You know, sheep, do you know, I'll tell you how dumb they are. They're so dumb, if they roll, fall over on their back, they cannot get back to their feet. They will literally die. The blood will flow from their top, you know, from their feet all the way down to their back, and it will literally kill them. They will die upside down. That's how dumb they are. So the shepherd's response was make sure that they're not upside down and that they're eating the right things and that they look at, because they're the kind sheep will go eat anything, even if it kills them. Now, I've eaten a few things I thought would kill me, but I try to be selective in my eating, okay? So sheep and shepherding was normal mainstay first century ancient Israel. They knew that. They understood that. Now at night, what they would do is they would bring all of the sheep into an area, in a corral. And they would hire someone to watch the door, the gate, to make sure that there would be no one who would climb over the or come in and steal the sheep. No animals could come and kill the sheep. They wanted to make sure their sheep were protected. So they would hire a doorkeeper. So what we have is we have all the sheep. They're gathered together into this corral. There's a man that's hired there. His job is to guard the sheep. He's the gatekeeper, if you would, of the sheep. He watches out, makes sure that there's no one that will come some other way. Because honestly, you can't get through the gate. The only way anyone can steal sheep is to climb up some other way. And that's what Jesus is teaching. So the door then is significant here. The door is the gate. And the shepherd is the one that can go through the door. Now, what Jesus is showing us in this illustration, so that we can understand it, is that Jesus is the door to the sheep. In other words, you might say it this way, the relationship that we have starts through the door. And that door is Jesus Christ. In fact, let me give you a few significant points about this. Number one, it's the only entrance in. You know what he's saying is simply this. If you want to get to the sheep, you can only go through one door. You can't go through multiple doors. Anyone that tries to go any other way into the sheep, you are a thief and a robber, and you are not a part of the sheep. There's no relationship. The scene is the shepherd making sure that we understand that the only way to be a part of the sheepfold of the Lord Jesus Christ is we must go through the doorway of Jesus Christ. Look, if you're here today, you cannot be a part of the sheep or the sheepfold of Jesus Christ by being a Baptist. Because being a Baptist is not the doorway. In fact, being a Catholic or anything else for that matter, that's not the doorway. The doorway is not getting baptized. The doorway is not being a good person. The only way that anyone can be a part of the sheepfold is you must go through the door, and he is the only entrance in to the sheepfold. And God wants us to understand that. In fact, he says it like this. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You see, here it is, my friend, today. Here's the problem. So many people think the way to go to heaven, the way to get part of the sheepfold, the way to be a part of God's people, the way to do that is to get religious. Or just do good things. And what God is saying is, oh no, the only entrance that you can get in. You see, that's wrong thinking. The only way that we can get in is through Jesus Christ, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I'm the only entrance. But something else I want you to notice about this doorway is a protected entrance. The Bible said that Jesus is there. And I'm kind of liking it to this. Anyone ever had this happen to you? When my children were small, now both of my kids, for some reason, took after their mother. Okay? Because they were so active. And they were just so busy all the time. Now, we did something that probably some of you would think is inhumane. We put gates around rooms so they couldn't climb in. And, you know, we would have put these gates on the walls. You know what I'm talking about? Can you guys connect with... Come on, help me out here. Amen or something. Okay. So what we would do is we put, and we would put gates in. And we would, that doesn't mean we put them in the gates and then we stay on the other side. We were in the room with them in the gates. Because we didn't want them to go out of the room. So we would put the doorway there, put the gate in there. And that kept them in. That way we didn't have to worry about it. The only room we had to worry about was the one they were in, not the one that they wanted to get to. And then after a while, what we did was we took the gates down, and then what we would try to do is train them by standing there blocking the way. So that if they wanted to come out, we said, no, you can't come out. Now you can stay and play here. You can't come this way. This is the picture. Jesus is the door. Jesus protects the entrance. In other words, you might say it this way, if you want to go to heaven, the only way you can get there is through the authority of the door. And Jesus is the door. He protects the quality and the integrity of heaven. Amen?
You can't go it any other way. It's the protected entrance. And so the sheep here, the Bible said that as they make their way in, that there's no way that they're going to get in any other way except it be through the gate, which is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are some who want to kill him. There are some that wanted to destroy him. There were some that wanted to get to them. But God said that if anyone wants to get in, the only way you can get through is through the authority of Jesus Christ. Someone asked me one time, why is it that, Pastor, when you pray, you always want to pray in Jesus' name? Why is it that in America, we believe that we ought to pray Jesus? Why can't we just pray and just say amen at the end of it? It's because we have no authority in ourselves. The only authority we have is in Jesus Christ. The only way I can go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And what he's helping me to understand is that, man, he's the great shepherd. And we'll look at that in a minute. But the key is the relationship starts with him as the door. That's what he says. And we understand that. In fact, we understand that just as Jesus protects the doors, we assume the locks protect our homes. We want to believe that. I mean, when I left today, I locked my door. How many of you heard the same message I heard on Wednesday night when I got home from church? How many heard this little message? If you live in Sassoon, that they're breaking into homes. Any of you get that call? I got that call. That commander called and said, you know, now that make sure that when you leave your doors locked, and gave this big long thing because there are people that'll knock doors, and then if you open the door, they'll bash in. They might bash in, or whatever the case is. I don't know what all he was saying on there, but the point of the matter is this: the lock is to protect the home. Jesus Christ protects the kingdom. The only way the lock can be opened is with the key, and Jesus is the key. That's why he said unto Peter, he said, and I also say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So the very first relationship, remember I said we're connected to eternity. The very first relationship, that which brings us together, is number one, is the door. Thank God for the door, and the door, the Bible says, is Jesus Christ. Well, let me give you the second one. Write this one down. Here's the second one. That is through the shepherd. Through the shepherd. Look, if you know Christ this morning, I want to tell you this. It's wonderful to know that we are related through the shepherd. That gives us a relationship. Hebrews 13 says it like this. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, through him, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Can I tell you this? Jesus Christ, notice this, Jesus Christ is not just a good shepherd, though he is, but he's the great shepherd. I can honestly say this, since I have been saved, October 22nd, 1972, he's never failed me. I can honestly say this, that since 1972, since I met Jesus Christ, I cannot honestly say that I've ever had what I would call a miserable day. And the reason why is because I have Jesus Christ as my Savior. He is my shepherd. And by the way, you are here today in this room. What brings you together in your relationship, number one, is the fact that you made it through the doorway if you trusted Christ as Savior. So that makes us a part of this church group, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But notice something, our relationship to the shepherd is what makes all the difference in the world. You say, why? Because in letter A, he opens the door. He opens the door. Nobody else has the right to open the door. Only He does. He opens the door because He is the door. Now the picture begins to shift. Now here's what we have. So the corral now, it's day, and it's time for the sheep to go out to pasture. They're going to go out, and so the shepherd goes down, he opens the door, and he leads his sheep out to the fields. Now in the fields, they're there for a while, and then there comes a time for him to bring them back together. So he will call the sheep back together, and when he does, they all come in a common area. And that's where Jesus now protects his sheep. And he opens the door and he calls them one by one. And did you notice something interesting? He has a name for every one of them. A name for every one. I don't know about that name. I've done some research on that. I kind of wonder. But God seems to have a name for everybody. I don't know what your name is and I don't know what my name is, but he does have a name for us. And the names in, I notice this in Scripture as I study it, the names in the Scriptures are significant and reflect character. So I kind of wonder when I look, I wonder, what would the name of this person be? Faithful. Or perhaps polished. Or loving. Or kind. Or a gift. I mean, these are names that we like to, if we're going to name our children, we're looking for names that would be significant, that would have some type of a characteristic. The Bible said that when Jesus opens the door, he's opening the door and he lets them out, but then when he opens the door to bring them out of the field into the corral that he has out in the field, he calls them all by name. What about when Jesus calls you? Let me ask you this. What about when he speaks to you? What about when he says to you, you know, I want you to take care of that in your life. I want you to be more yielded to me. I want you to give up that bitterness that's in your life. I want you to get rid of that lust out of your life. I want you to make sure that you spend more time with me. What about when he speaks to you? When he calls you by name? You see, you're attached. You can't get away from that. You're attached to eternity. You're attached to the shepherd. He's the one that opens the door. You're one of his. And as he opens the door and he calls you by name, how do you respond? I wonder how many people are kind of like, as he calls, they would go the other way. It'd be really sad if God calls and we try to go our own way, go the other way. Now that's how we were before we became attached to the shepherd. We kind of just go our own way and ignore what God says, and because we're living for ourselves and we're not living for him anymore. But at this point, as believers, we're attached to eternity. We walk through the door. The door is Jesus Christ. We've accepted him, and now that we're saved and we know Christ as Savior, then the Bible said, we have a shepherd. We're attached to the shepherd. And by the way, I don't know how any of us could ever want to be attached, unattached from the shepherd. I'm here to tell you, I'm thrilled every day to walk with Jesus. How about you? I'm glad to talk to him. I talked to him this morning. He talked to me. I love that song. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Look, it doesn't get any better. It's great every day. That's because he opens the door. But then, when he opens the door, he offers provision. And I'm so glad that the shepherd provides for his sheep. You see, the shepherd's responsibility is to make sure that his sheep are well fed and cared for. To make sure that they eat properly, that they're not eating the wrong things. And God wants to make sure that. But I want to tell you this. There are some false shepherds out there that want to feed you the wrong things. They'd love to feed you poison. They love to feed you garbage that will ruin you. That's what they want to do. And And Jesus calls them thieves and robbers. But what he's saying is, he says, understand, I'm the great shepherd. I offer provision for you. Here's the bottom line. Fed sheep don't need to go anywhere other pasture. Look, he gives you the best. Amen, church? Amen. He feeds you with the best. Now, what are some things that he offers to us? Well, he offers us, number one, the Bible. I'm so glad we have a Bible. He offers as a baby, as a new Christian, if you're just recently saved, he calls the Bible like the milk. And, you know, babies, they desire milk. They have a hunger, a thirsting, a longing for milk. That's what drives them. That's what builds them and strengthens them so that they can get stronger, be able to eat meat. But it starts with milk. And the Bible said that the Bible is like milk to a baby. 1 Peter says it like this, as newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But then he goes on, he talks about the word of God being like meat. I don't know about you, but I like meat. Anyone like meat? Are you meat eaters? My wife and I, one of our favorite places is Texas Roadhouse. We like it because I walk in and the first thing I see is beef in front of me. Amen? We like that. We go down there and my wife and I, we kind of like, you know, we're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pick out our beef. So we go in and look at the window there and they've got, you know, 20 ounces, 24 ounces, you know, and then they got 16 ounces and all those kind of things. And so you get to pick out whichever one you want. I like that. So we pick out what we like. And we can sit down and eat it. And we enjoy that. I'm just glad I have teeth to eat. Amen? I'm glad I'm able to eat that. Thank God for that. Now, here's the problem. A lot of Christians want to eat meat, but they're not willing to get through the milk part first. And God says that you have to understand that for you to be able to eat meat, it belongs to those who are strong. That's what Hebrews 5 says. So you have to eat milk first and then get to the meat. The milk is the beginning stages. So many times people want to run ahead. They want to skip over the Christian life. They just want, you know, and some people, quite frankly, want God at their convenience. Can I be honest with you? They do. They kind of like him that way. You know, it's kind of like, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do all these. Oh, now I'm in trouble. God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Be my Savior. Okay. Everything goes well? Great. All right. Out down the road, God. That's kind of how people live their Christian life. They live like that. And then they're going to say, man, how can I get any stronger? I got to get through this. How can I do that? Well, they don't understand. But, you know, if they would have let God feed them the milk of the Word of God, God wants to provide them the strength so they can get to the meat part. You say, what's the meat part of doing it? Can I tell you this? I don't care how long you've been saved or how old you are in your walk with God, you still need God to provide your food spiritually. You still need to read your Bible every day. And in Hebrews chapter 5, he says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. In other words, you're still unskillful, but as you grow and mature, but strongly meat belongs unto them that are full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And here's the point. The point of the matter is as you get older and you walk with God, as you walk with Him every day, then you will begin to mature enough to be able to make your own decisions about, no, that's not good. Oh, no, that's not, yeah, that's great. No, that's not good. Because you're not asking somebody else to make decisions for you about what you should be discerning, what's good and bad. Why? Because we're attached to eternity. What does that mean? That means that God provides everything I need. You ever get weak spiritually? God says, I can take care of that too. He says, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Let me tell you something, folks. Do you realize that what we have today is the greatest gift in the world ever? Wonderful to know that we have a shepherd like that. That's why he's a great shepherd. And he offers peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus says, I give you peace. But then he goes on, he says, there's one more thing I offer to you. Verse 11, he says, I offer you my life. Now, a shepherd that offers his life is pretty astounding. He says, I offer the perfect sacrifice, my life. I'm willing to die for you. In fact, he did die for us. He gave himself for us. He went to the cross and he hung there, suspended between heaven and earth, bleeding and dying, bearing the sins of the whole world on his back. And then they took him off and they buried him, and he rose again the third day. And what it reminds me of is the fact that I have a shepherd that not only loves me and offers to me all these wonderful things, but he's a shepherd that loves me so much, he's willing to die for me. You talking about relationship, there's nothing out here in the world that can top that. Nothing. So we have that connection. How are we connected? Well, we're connected through the door. The door is Jesus Christ. He opens the door. How are we connected? What is our relationship? It's through the shepherd. The great shepherd. But then there's one more. Write this one down. It's through the family. It's through the family. I remember several years ago when I was first saved, I was introduced to a new concept for me, and maybe for some of you it is a new concept. I did not understand it, but maybe you understand better than I do. But here's what happened. When I got saved and trusted Christ as Savior, here's what I found out. I found out that everybody sitting next to me was either a brother or a sister in Christ. I didn't get that. A brother, sister in Christ. And I thought, wait a minute. We're part of the family. It's big. It's massive. So if you think about eternity, then we're all in this relationship. We're connected in eternity. We're connected with God. We're connected with heaven. In other words, you might say it this way. You know, right now in our world, we think, you know, we're watching the Olympics. How many of you are watching the Olympics? How many of you are interested in who won the basketball game? I'm not going to tell you. You probably got to record it, okay? Leastwise, I know some have. I threatened to tell some people and said, don't tell me. Okay. But, you know, the Olympics brings the world together in a sense. You know, we're watching it. You know, they say all these billions of people watching it. In fact, I read this, and I think it's true. 3 billion people know that racer, what's his name, the fastest guy on the planet. Yeah, you guys see, you guys know him, Bolt. He's like a Bolt. Okay? 3 billion people know. I want 3 billion people know Jesus Christ. But what brings the world together, in a sense, we look at is this Olympics and this competition. But here's my point. My point of the matter is, what brings us together as this made up of people is the fact that we're all connected with eternity through Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Look, man, this is an attachment. You're my brother. You're my sister. You're part of this thing. This is not Rick Stone Street. This is not your church. This is yours and mine. We're all part of this. We're all connected. And it's amazing to me when I start thinking about it. And Jesus, I mean, you know, I mean, there's sheep out here that Jesus, the Bible speaks of. He's talking about these sheep, and they're wandering around out here. They're all his sheep. Those who have received Christ as Savior, they're all part of that sheepfold, and they all belong to him. But do you realize they're all interrelated to the fact that the reason why they're part of his sheepfold is because they have the same shepherd. And they come through the same doorway. So you and I, we're part of the family. Ephesians 2:19 says it like this. It says, Now, therefore, you no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. As a family, number one, we know the shepherd, don't we? We know the shepherd. That's what brings us together. That means that we have a common Father. And the Father is God in heaven. And it's not Muhammad. It is the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know the life as well, don't we? We're attached to living for Christ every day. We know the life. The life is a wonderful life. And when you allow God to work through your life, we will have a common lifestyle. All of us share it together. All of us have this same life experience that we met Christ somewhere along the way. Maybe we're in a different place, a different time, different circumstance. Perhaps maybe we even said the prayer a little different. Whatever the case is, we're still all a part. We all know this life. We all made that decision. We know what it is, and we're all growing in our walk with God. But we're all part of that. And I'm sure thankful today that God allows all of us to be a part. I'm glad that I'm not the only Christian on the planet. Amen and amen. I'm glad I'm not all by myself. Yeah, I was reading, you know, as you go back and you read about Genesis. You think about Adam was the only man on the planet. You talking about being challenging, that would be challenging. Let's have a men's meeting. He better show up, amen? You think about that. Then I got to thinking about Noah. Years later, here's Noah. Noah couldn't get anybody to respond. It was just him and his family. You talk about lonely. It must have been lonely on that boat. What would have been even worse is when they got off the boat. That was it. But thank God for his family, they were there, amen? Now look, let me tell you this. You and I, we belong and we're attached to a family. A family. Now here's something I learned. Well, let me get to my third point. We know our family, don't we? We know our family. Now, I may not know everybody's name. My wife, her brother has 10 children. Now they're growing up and now they're having kids. And so you think about it, 10 multiplying, they're married, they got kids, and some of them are trying to follow dad's pattern. You know, like you're having kids every year or so, you know. And I'm going to tell you this, when we go back there, because we don't go back that often, we go back, I don't even know who those kids are. I mean, I know some of them. But I don't know who they are. Are you guys relating to where I'm coming from in this? You ever been there? You guys ever have a family reunion, you go there and you know their family, but you don't really know who they are? Anybody ever know something like that? Yeah, and what's your name? Oh, you're Bill's cousin. Oh, I heard about you. You just got out of jail, did you? No, I'm just kidding. But here's my point. Watch it very carefully. Whether we know it or not, we're a part of God's family. That's what we are. We're attached to something bigger. We're not by ourselves in this thing. And what I found out with family, since that's the case, there's a couple of thoughts I want to give you, then I'm done. Here's the first thought. When you have family problems, who's to help you? The family. We're there for you. We're there to help you. Does that mean that other family members don't have problems? No. Who in here doesn't have a problem or problems? But we're family. How am I doing? You guys follow me on this? It's a little different message today, I know. Some of you are kind of like, wow. But I want you to see it. Here's what happens. I had this fear, and I still do every now and then. I've had this fear Now that my kids are driving and they're mature adults and everything, you know what my fear is? One day I'm going to get the call. They didn't show up at work. You know where they are? No, I don't know where they are. They're supposed to be there. And what happens if you can't find a child? Horrible. People have lost their children doing that. Every parent has seen it and read it on the news, and read on the paper and seen on the news how traumatic it must be to lose a child. How difficult it must be to somewhere along the way that you might have a missing child. What happens? Everybody rallies together to help them find that missing child, don't they? They call out everybody. Sheriff, helicopters, put up a command center. They have everybody they can in the community, people who come out and volunteer. They'll do everything they can to find that child. In general, they find them. And the idea is the sooner they find them, the better they are, right? The success rate goes up if you find a child within 3 hours. And then it starts going down after 3 days. Now look, Christian, here's the question I want to ask you. How attached are you to what your family is? Friday night, I was out on a ride along, and there was a couple that were out on the freeway hitchhiking. A couple hitchhiking on the freeway, illegal. So we picked them up and took them to a safe spot and let them out. We were talking to them, and here's what they said. Here was the words. Yeah, where are you going? San Francisco. Where are you from? Michigan. How long have you been out? 1 year. You on the road 1 year? How do you support yourself? I don't have to. People give me stuff I need. And then I got to thinking, I wonder how many Christians are like those. Because here's what I put myself in. If that were my daughter or son, that'd bother me. That'd bother me. Because I'd want to know where they are. Where in the world are they? If they want to go there, I'll just take them there. I wonder how many Christians are unattached from God. I wonder how many Christians are unattached from God's people. They're trying to live the Christian life sort of like, well, I'll just kind of do what I want, unattached. Here's what God says. Get attached. You're part of the family. You know why we call if someone's absent? Because you're part of the family. Now, in the summer, we don't call like right away because we have people go on vacations and things like that. But quite frankly, it's not like we're getting on to you. We love you. You're part of the family. God loves you. You're attached. But what I found out is that people are only attached as they allow themselves to be. Some don't want to be attached. They just want to kind of slip out the side door. No one knows who they are. Oh, by the way, those kind of people don't really understand the shepherd and the sheep. Because I'm going to tell you something. A shepherd won't let them slip out the side gate. Guess what he does? He goes and gets them and brings them back, doesn't he? Don't become unattached. Now, let me, one more thought and I'm done. Here's how you know if you become unattached. You don't appreciate what God is doing in your life anymore. You don't appreciate it. Something in your life. God's doing this. I don't appreciate that. You're becoming unattached in your heart. Someone said something to me I didn't like. unappreciated. Hey, well, God says, you're part of it. You're part of it. You should be attached. You should be a part of what this is. This is huge. This is big. This is not Calvary Baptist Church business. This is eternity. It's that big. May God help us to get attached. How do we do that? Through the door. You say, I've been through the door. Great. Are you attached to the shepherd? If you are, thank God for that. And are you attached to the family? Stay attached and you'll have what God is talking about as the good shepherd in the sheep. Because one day you read that and you say, I'm so thankful for the great shepherd. Heavenly Father and Lord, I pray today that you'll help us to understand this vital truth about the Christian life. Lord, the key is relationship. The key is as you open the door and as you close the door. And Lord, this morning there are some people who have perhaps through other shepherds that tried to lead them away. And I mean the false shepherds and those who are trying to